Hey, everybody. It is Bob here. Bob Saget's here for you. And I am. And it's been a difficult time. We're all going through a difficult time. And some of us are not. And that's a treasured moment if you're enjoying your family and you're healthy. And you're not being taken in too much by the news that can be so hurtful for so many people because it's so upsetting and all the stuff that's going on in the world. So I wanted to laugh. I just wanted to have a laugh, and it's going to be R-rated, so no kids, okay? I'm in enough trouble. Gilbert Gottfried is my guest. It's his second time on the show. The only other person I've ever had a second time was Joel McHale. Dear, wonderful man. And Gilbert has made me laugh for many years with his improv and esotericness, and it's not a word. And he loves to laugh like we laughed in junior high at just dirty, dumb shit. So if you're under 16, I'd say, don't listen to this. Do not. If you're a parent, don't let your kid listen to this. This is not Iago the parrot from Aladdin. This is Gilbert Gottfried. He's from many years of many different movies and many of the Comedy Central roasts, including mine, where I'll never forgive him. Oh, man, what a life. But he is a dear, dear man, and he's in Florida right now. And he's down there with his wife and kids, and he has his Gilbert Gottfried's, Colossal Stupendous podcast. You know what it is. I say it when I'm talking to him. We'll be bringing up his podcast, which is really funny, and he's got great people on it. He's had so many legends on it. And he also has GilbertGottfried.com. And you can go see him on the road and do stand-up. He's still doing dates, and you want to see him. He is just, he is guaranteed to be funny and irreverent. And I don't know what to say. He's my friend since we're in our early 20s. He makes me laugh. This is going to be filthy, so forgive me. And it's not my fault. It is, because I wanted to talk to him, because I needed a laugh. Here he is, Gilbert Gottfried. So, Gilbert.
Yes.
Thank you for coming back. I've only had one other person do a second appearance. That was Joel McHale.
Oh, I remember him.
He's very popular. He's doing a movie. You remember a lot of things.
Yes. Now, what movie was he in?
I remember
his TV show.
Yeah, Community, and he was also on The Soup. And he's been doing a bunch of movies. I don't know the name of the one he's shooting right now, but he's doing movie after movie. And you have a lot in common with him. He does a lot of upper body work.
Yeah.
What's the heaviest thing you've lifted in the past two days?
Oh, well, here it goes. Penis.
Right. That would be the answer.
Right. I figured I wanted to start early.
I think so. I want to say again that people under 15 should not listen to this because Gilbert and I are going to have fun. We're going to have fun like we do, and we're not going to say anything reprehensible because we both know that 2021 and 2020 is a different time, and the 14-year-olds today are not. They shouldn't have seen anything we've ever done. Except the family stuff I did. I mean, they should see Aladdin because you're Iago. Is that how you say his name?
Iago.
And then, of course, I did the family shows I did. And then they don't know that I'm acting. They think that that's what I'm like at home.
And of course, all the kids have seen me in my guest appearances on Wings.
Yeah, all the kids saw that.
Yeah.
What is it with you and birds? You always have wings.
Yes.
You were in my movie, Farce of the Penguins.
Yes.
A movie made of stock footage, and you had good dialogue with Sam Jackson. Samuel Jackson narrated it.
Yeah. And so the original one was Morgan Freeman, right?
Right. And then we did the parody Farce of the Penguins. And it was actually did very well in Australia and New Zealand in theaters. And then the rest of the place, it was a huge DVD hit because this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you were screaming, "I'm freezing my nuts off."
That's right.
And
yeah.
Had an interact, and it was just stock footage of penguins.
So you really didn't spend a hell of a lot on
actually,
that.
Actually, it cost a lot of money to get that stock footage. You'd be shocked.
Really?
Totally. So, Gilbert, catch everybody up. A lot of people, a huge amount of people love you. You're one of the funnier people. Kelly and I, my wife, we had to watch some movies. We didn't know. We were out of things to binge. And we watched, I don't know why, all the Sharknado movies. I think there's six. And you're in two or three of them.
I think three.
I think so, too.
Yes.
And then you... What did you say your biggest line? I mean, you should say it. It's very popular.
Oh, okay. There's one. There's one. I think it's supposed to be I'm in Africa. And I go, "It's a safari NATO." That's one of them.
Right.
And then there's, the other one, I'm in Texas, I think. Yeah, we filmed it, my scene in Central Park, when I was supposed to be in Texas. Because, you know, Central Park and Texas are identical. Sometimes when you're in Central Park, you go, "How did I wind up in Texas?"
And now, well, there was another line you yelled out. It was what was the other one?
Odd.
NATO. It was there was another NATO that was very funny.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie? Did you go to the premiere?
No. Did they have one?
I doubt it. I think most of the money was right up on the screen.
Yes. And it's also with the Sharknado movies, it was like I was starting to give them my measurements and they said, "No, just whatever clothes you got, just wear." I mean, they weren't spending, they weren't going to buy you like a paper cap. It doesn't matter.
You were trying to get a jacket out of it, at least a sport coat.
Yes. And with the Sharknado movies, it's like, they're pretty much saying, do you have a movie camera, your own movie camera you could bring with you?
Do they pay you? Is it SAG scale? You don't have to tell me how much.
It's as low as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as low as they could legally get away with.
And what made you say yes? Was it the script?
I read the script and I fell in love.
Was there a script?
There was a script. And to show you the care that's put into it, in the first one, they film me getting killed by the sharks.
Right.
And then I watched it on TV and I wasn't killed. And I asked them about that. And they said, "Well, in the version that you buy, you get killed. On the TV version, you don't." So it was a lot of care was put into that.
It's good to have options.
Yes.
Did they use the same stuff for another one of the Sharknado movies?
Let's see.
Did they shoot you one day and then put you in two different movies with the footage?
No, they brought me back for the other times. So the first time, like I said, Central Park. The second time, I was on a balcony in Manhattan and in Midtown. I was on a balcony, and that was Africa, I think. Mm-hmm. Because they had, you know, really tall buildings in Africa, in the Congo.
Right.
You'd be surprised the amount of construction going on there. And so that was Africa. And then, see, my character was Ron McDonald. And then I came back, I think, as Rick McDonald, which was my character's father. And they filmed my scene in black and white.
Oh, man. I remember it vaguely. I mean, we watched those movies. I think we were drinking wine because that's the way to watch those movies. They're if you don't want to be thinking.
Yeah, it's like, well, the Sci-Fi Channel, they were specializing in the really, like, I just recently, they reran a six-headed shark.
Yeah.
That was one of them. And then, Sharktopus.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
We have a friend that was in that, Kelly and I. She was very good in it, and they paid her for the day, and they don't give you much direction, I'm told.
No.
Do you have a cold? I see you wiping your nose. Is it just normal?
No, I've been doing coke. Yeah.
When do you start doing it?
Yeah.
In the morning?
As early as possible.
Right. Now, isn't it sad that we're in a world that you said that as a joke and that people would take that seriously? They would think you meant that.
Yeah, it's like the reasoning is, well, he's a comedian. He wouldn't be joking.
Right. You know, that's like, the reasoning.
Why would a comedian doesn't joke around?
No, they're the newscasters.
Yeah.
You're basically a reporter. You're a journalist for the earth.
Yes.
Well, you've ruined my career several times.
Yeah, thank God. Well, see, with my career, there's nothing left to ruin. So I have to now go after other people's careers.
You want to bring them down to your level.
Yes.
I'm already a foot and a half shorter since I've known you. Now, I understand. I see there's a bed there. I know that you're not planning to do anything. You're in a gym of sorts.
I am at my in-laws' house, and I guess they work out with it. It's not like, as opposed to, a lot of people just buy athletic equipment because it looks so good. So I wouldn't try either one of those things.
No, they look like things you just sit on and maybe move your legs.
Yes. One of them's a bicycle, exercise bicycle.
Oh, okay. That's in the middle. That's behind your head. I see.
Yes.
The thing on the left looks like something that would be in a pool.
It's your right. No, that is one. It looks more like a torture device to me. It looks like it should have been, if it wasn't already, in 50 Shades of Grey. It's the thing you swing backwards and you hang from your ankles.
And this is, everybody listening, he's being very serious and giving you the news.
Yes.
This is all factual because we don't know what jokes are anymore.
And I should warn you in advance that this is very shocking footage we're about to show. And that's what I love about the news is, like, they warn you in advance that this is shocking and tasteless. And that's what they're actually saying. Come on, it's shocking and tasteless. You want to see this.
Well, recently, with all the hellish things that we're watching, they're not even saying this is hard to watch. Usually they would say this contains graphic content, and they haven't been putting that up there, and they've been showing deaths. And it's, I think, unforgivable what they've been doing. I mean, all of the dirty jokes with the word fuck in them mean nothing compared to you turn on the news and at 4 o'clock your kid is watching someone die.
Yes.
Without telling anybody. I mean, they should at least tell you, Gilbert.
Yes.
Being the newscaster that you are.
Yes, I give the truth.
It's true.
And I've been to Texas and Africa.
And in Central Park.
Attacked by flying sharks. I remember on September 11th, the news had like footage that a guy had shot on his cell phone.
Yeah.
Of the the plane hitting the second tower.
Right.
And, so you see that, you know, it's very grainy footage of a plane crashing in. And
it's one of those things I try to erase from my mind.
Yeah. It's like a guy in the crowd goes, "Oh, fuck." And when they got back to the news, the newscaster, he goes, "We really have to apologize. We put that on in a hurry without watching it first. And we apologize for the obscenity."
That's the insanity. That's yes. The insanity. We don't apologize for showing graphic content that should have really been under lock and key, or at least disclaimered for a while before they show it.
Yeah, it's like you just watched 3,000 people murdered.
Yeah.
But the obscenity is that guy saying fuck.
That's the world we're in right now. That's the world. Or if you make a joke about something or someone else slanders you and makes something up, people will believe any terrible, horrible, disgusting person on YouTube that comes out with some campaign against you. They can do anything they want, and idiots believe it. It's really, really sad.
Well, it's like you're going to go with the better story. It's like
if you're in the news business and want to sell tickets, commercials. Yes.
Yeah, you go with the better story. If you say, this guy, this guy fucks animals, and which which in my case is true.
No, because you have a lovely wife, and I don't think you would do that to her. You wouldn't cheat on her with an armadillo.
Well, an armadillo is an attractive creature.
No, it's hard shelled. What animals are you attracted to? People are already going to be responding.
Now, before we get into that, in Dracula,
right?
He's there in like Transylvania, and they show the inside of the castle, and there are armadillos walking around, because Transylvania is where you find armadillos.
That is true. That is where they are, because armadillos don't want to have their blood sucked. So you have to have a hard shell skin. Otherwise, a vampire would pick you up and take a bite in you. But an armadillo or a porcupine would be protected.
Yes, I thought you were talking about Larry Fine of the Three Stooges.
That's funny that you bring that up, because I always bring him up. Yes. I've only got six things I talk about. Let's get to something that I think is more pressing. That you are, do you have a cold or do you have allergies? That's what's going on?
Allergies. Yeah. My nose runs like crazy. Well, why don't you catch it? Thank you. I've turned into to Maury Amsterdam.
Yeah. How do you make time fly?
Yeah.
That's right. So your children are well.
Yeah. Maury Amsterdam used to do this running bit where he goes, "Last night I was having dinner." "You were?" "Yes."
That was really what he did?
He would do that. He talked to himself like that. And he goes, "I've been married for 20 years." "You were?" "Yes."
That's funny. I've actually done that before, and I wasn't channeling his greatness. I used to laugh at him a lot. He was great on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
He was very funny. And I think he did like a lot of the writing for that, I think, too.
Was he a writer?
I guess so.
It sounds like he might have been. I don't remember.
I remember them saying he was a really good businessman.
Right. The show's creator, Carl Reiner, based the character on his old friend Mel Brooks, with whom he worked on the writing staff of Your Show of Shows. Buddy was also one of the rare overtly Jewish characters on TV in that era, with one episode revolving around his belated decision to have a bar mitzvah. It doesn't say whether he was a writer or not, but it does profile him.
Do you? I just from on my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast,
which I've been on, and I love your podcast. I love
that. It was a lot of fun having you on there. And but on my podcast, we interviewed Dick Van Dyke. And the one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten, Dick Van Dyke said to me, he said, "You would have made a good buddy on the show."
That's true. You would have. I think you and Maury Amsterdam shared a very soothing voice.
Oh, he was, Maury Amsterdam was in, it was a movie, I think it was a Roger Corman, and it was based on a real life gangster from like the 30s. I forget which one it was. And it was Charles Bronson.
Wow.
So Charles Bronson and Maury Amsterdam.
And that's kind of like Marlon Brando and Wally Cox. Unlikely friends.
Well, Charles Bronson and Jack Klugman were roommates. Talk about the odd couple. They were roommates.
Must have been a lot of laughs in that house.
Oh, yeah.
Who's more disgruntled that day? So, Gilbert, what's been going on now? You've been doing some performing, even though there's, you know, there's the natural scare that goes around in certain venues and certain, depends on the city and the state. What's your experience been in touring?
I've done just recently, I don't know, about 6 or 7 performances. And I know I was up there. And I, you know, you do get rusty if you haven't done it for a while. And I was up there and it was funny when I got off stage, you know, everybody was saying how funny it was. And I thought it was, because I was going, I must have more material on this and trying to think it up. And then there was one of those wonderfully terrible TV biographies, you know, just like how they had this Saved by the Bell and Abbott and Costello biographies that TV would do.
Right.
And they had one about Freddie Prinze.
Mm.
That was called I Can't Hear the Laughter.
Right.
Which I always thought was a really tacky title. But then
I thought it was a good one, though, because it is what happens in your mind when you are in another zone and you're gone.
Yes. When I was on stage, I remember thinking, this is what the title meant. Because I wasn't hearing laughs. And everybody told me afterwards, they said, no, there were great big laughs.
Well, were you on drugs?
Always.
Were there people there? Is it possible there was no one there?
They were like mannequins from Gimbals.
Test dummies came to see you. Yes. So let me ask you, what happened? Were you going through a mental time? Was that a difficult time?
No, that was after with the COVID, I hadn't performed in God knows how long.
I see what you're saying. You're talking about you finally understood what it meant now after.
Yeah. And when I was on stage two, I was thinking, is this really what I do for a living? It was like, it's so strange.
I've been going back hard. I've had to go and tour, and I want to do a new special, so I'm working very hard to that end. And you know how long that takes to want to do that. It's to come up with a new hour and a half or whatever I'm working on. It's a lot. And I'm more invigorated to do it. It's just, you know, you're out there and people, where do you go where it's safe for people to go? And that's up to the independent, every individual place that you go. Where did you perform at last?
The last one. Oh, God.
Don't call me that. You can just say Bob.
Okay. I'll call you Jesus.
That's really going to help.
Yes.
You and I, single-handedly, we can just chip away and just by the end of the podcast be completely canceled if we wanted.
Yes.
And bring back the good old days that weren't good old days, because we were just trying to get laughs from what made people laugh then. And it ain't what makes people laugh now, except some people. But I'm so tired of, I just want to entertain people. And that's all you want to do. You make people laugh. Do you find yourself going more wicked now and tee it up and tell them you're going to say something that might not be appropriate? Do you do that, or have you changed?
Yeah, I do it anyway. It's like I always say, I think twice and then I do it anyway.
That's like walking in front of a bus.
Yes.
So where did you perform? Was it a club?
I think my first show back was at Caroline's in New York. And then I did, I think I did one in Connecticut and two in Florida. I get it all mixed up.
It's good not to know where you are or be able to hear the laughter.
Yes.
Why do you think it is that we say something that is maybe the worst thing that we could possibly say? You're just not a person that would act on any of the stuff you talk about, but it's dark humor. What do you think that is so hard for people like us? What is it that happened to us as kids or teenagers that made us go there?
It's weird. I mean, with me, I always found like, if someone told me, don't do that, then you feel like, oh, I got to do that now. Because right. They said don't. And
you're not talking about sex. You're just talking about don't say that. Don't.
Yes.
I want to be clear that you're not a person. You always knew. I've known you since we're in our early 20s. You always knew that no means no.
Yes.
Except when I told you no.
Yes, there was that one time.
Why? That was in the bathroom at Catch, if I recall.
Yes.
I was just at the urinal minding my own business.
Yeah, and a lot of times to this day, people go into that urinal and say, this stall is where Gilbert Gottfried fucked Bob Saget.
How is that? That wouldn't even be possible, I don't think. There's no step stool in there. I mean, they'd have to turn a trash can upside down. And, there's that little thing, Catch a Rising Star doesn't exist.
Oh, yes. But they saved the stall. And now it's even got a plaque.
That my head was banging against?
Yes. And it's like there's a drawing of us fucking that was drawn by Al Hirschfeld. So it's an honor.
What a great artist. He did all the biggest stars on Broadway. But you did all the biggest stars on Broadway.
Yes.
In different bathrooms.
All in that same stall.
Oh, and that Catch a Rising Star stall.
Yes.
Did you ever have sexual relations with anyone at Penn Station?
All the time. Because you need time. You're waiting for a train. And you've already passed by the magazine shop and the gift shops, and there's nothing to look at. So you fuck someone at Grand Central Station.
But it's consensual. You're not doing it against their wishes.
No, at first they're surprised, but then they go, you were terrific in Aladdin. And then they let me.
So this is within the last 20 years.
Sometimes when I'm on the train, I'll I'll fuck the conductor. Because, you know, those train rides are really boring.
So it's just out of boredom that you do this. But you're not doing anything predator-like. You just go.
I don't mean it. It's not out of spite. I mean, I'm trying to get the train to go. And I find.
Trying to get the train to go faster.
Yes.
Is that what you were saying?
I find. If I ask a conductor, he'll be in a big hurry to finish up that ride. So he will hit.
Will he have more coal thrown into the engine?
Yes. Buster Keaton will be shoveling coal.
Now, some people that are listening in this new world we're in would find our conversation right now, which I knew it was going to go off the rails. Yes. I didn't know it would be on a train on the rails, but I just want to be clear that you have to tell people now that you didn't actually do these things.
Yes, that it's amazing.
So how do we find it? Why did we find it funny? Is it because of boredom, or is it because everything is so upsetting, we turn to that kind of humor because within the comedian's realm, some of us are just have a sick bastard sense of humor.
I always thought it's funny when, now anything you say, you have to apologize to the world afterwards.
Do you want to apologize right now? Do you have to?
They always have to apologize. And I feel like when you make a bad taste joke, I feel like the apology is already in it because you're laughing because it's a bad taste joke.
But it requires someone to understand levels and understand comedy. And maybe we have a whole new generation of people going, that's not a joke anymore. In 2021, that's not a joke. And in my lifetime, now that I've come out and been able to speak my voice, that's never going to make me laugh, your disgusting sense of humor. But I don't know what makes them laugh because they're so angry. So I don't, even if I tried to be nice, or even if I had never done the sick humor that I had done, which was the opposite of what I would ever do. Same with you. I mean, you never meant any malice toward anyone, except the train conductor.
Yes. Well, I did send him flowers.
Oh, you did?
After we got to the station. I said, wait here. And I ran to the nearest flower shop and gave him.
And did he put it in the front of the train? Did he keep it there with him?
And so he couldn't see where the train was going.
Oh, my God.
And that caused a horrible train crash.
But no one was hurt.
Thank God.
What did the train crash into? From the flowers, he had no vision?
It was going over. It went over a bridge and fell.
Oh, it fell off the bridge?
It fell off the bridge.
Right.
To the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Where there were sharks.
Like a train-nado?
Yes, there was a train-nado.
What happened? But nobody was hurt and a train fell off a bridge?
Yes.
How could no one be hurt from such a tragedy?
Well, I meant emotionally. They weren't hurt.
Physically?
They understood. They all died, but before they died, they said, hey, at least Gilbert Gottfried got to fuck the train conductor.
They all said that.
Yes, they, all of them, right before they died.
Underwater.
Yeah, and they were going,
like Daffy Duck gargling
yes
on dying on water, drinking water. So that's nice that they all said that. But
yes.
I thought that no one was hurt, but it turns out they all died. Do you find that all the people died?
Well, the train conductor was hurt when you left him. I was fucking him, and yes.
Oh, so that hurt him.
Yes.
See, this is what people will say. Why are they doing this? This comedy is wrong. And yet there's a lot of people that go, this is the comedy I want to hear. I'm 35, I'm, yes. 50, I'm 50. I want to hear absurd shit that just takes my mind off it and let it be dirty because I don't really care. It's just words. And the idea of Gilbert having sex with a train conductor that goes off a bridge and goes underwater makes me laugh.
You know what? I remember when Michael Richards got in trouble, and the owner of the club came out publicly and said, well, if that word is ever said in this club again, I'm docking the comic's pay.
Right.
And I was thinking, wouldn't it had made more sense as the owner of a comedy club to say, we don't restrict our comics at all. It might be offensive. It might be shocking. And that would get more people. It's kind of like people wouldn't line up for a roller coaster if it was if it was advertised as this roller coaster goes very slowly and it doesn't make any drops or sharp turns.
But they would maybe not go on it if they were told that racial epithets would be yelled at them the whole time they're on the roller coaster. Because that was a mistaken, sad incident. And it was wrong. And I always liked Michael, you know, and I think that came out of a very messed up moment of an intersection and people have talked about it. But it's interesting to talk about it now because it's the last thing that if he had done this right now, I don't think that would have happened. I don't think that word would have been in his consciousness because he was trying to do sarcasm and irony. In the middle of a confusion of improv when he excelled, he was not known as a stand-up, though I knew him when he was a stand-up. He would do fun stuff that he used to do on the show Fridays, long before Seinfeld. And, you know, and he was always a kind, funny guy. And things happen to some people on stages. I'm not making excuses because I've never used that word. I've tried not to use any words. People think I've said words on stage I haven't said. Like I don't say them, but they make up stuff and make it worse than it was, or they think that I said things even at my roast that you ruined my life with. but here we are friends, you know. But even there, I didn't say anything. I sat there and listened. I didn't say anything derogatory where other people were about people that I love, and people think they made it up. Everybody made up a reality because they haven't watched it. And so that's a world that we're in where we're factless. Somebody will say, where'd you find that information about COVID? And they say, well, I saw it in a text. You know,
it's yes.
Like, that was in the comments section. So it has to be true. Told by, you know, a 12-year-old that doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, like some 12-year-old who nicknamed himself, you know, Captain Bob or something, Captain Joey.
Why did he have to have my name,
Captain Yeah, well, Bob? Because... yeah, and it would... it's like people read the internet and they take it as fact.
And it's, you can find anything you want. You could find literally anything you want to believe on there. You know, does Gilbert Gottfried have sex with parakeets?
Yes. The answer is yes.
So you don't have to look it up.
Because my penis is very thin.
Is it like really that? There's like a toothpick?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's more like a straw.
It's like a straw.
A straw.
So Count Dracula would like it. What would you say to him if he saw your straw of a penis? What would you say to Count Dracula?
I'd say, hey, look. Well, I'd have a straw for my penis and two sunflower seeds as my balls.
So it's very small. It's doll furniture. Doll. Yeah, right. And what would you say to Count Dracula?
I'd say, Dracula, this is my very thin straw-like dick and sunflower seed balls. And he'd say, I admire greatly your skinny dick and your sunflower seed balls.
That's what he would say?
He would say that.
He sounds Russian. And would he say anything else, or is that pretty much it? It was just admiration?
Yes.
That's nice that you could.
It is when you do.
Yeah, because he's not going to suck your blood or anything. So, how did it feel to get back up on stage now that you've done it a few times?
Very still, I feel weird, and still I need people afterwards saying that I did well, because I'm still, you know, I'm like, it's weird. I mean, because before I would go on the road like every week, I'd do a club someplace.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's, well, did you miss not performing?
I found out, and that's what this reset's about, that I missed it more than I ever thought I would. I never thought I would miss it this much. And the reason is, I started to come up with new things I wanted to talk about, and it became voluminous in my head how much stuff I wanted to talk about, my experiences, what I've learned during this time. And it, so I kind of have changed. I've kind of been more thoughtful. I still do what I do. I'm not a PG show. I can't bring 15-year-olds to it. They could hear it. You know, it's not bad for them, as my earlier specials, which contained stuff, you know, back in the day that my stand-up was just different. We were different. It was a different time, you know? But I love it. I mean, have you thought of new stuff to do?
Oh, God. For me, new stuff would be like, so how many of you watch Bonanza?
So you're not picking out fresh gems.
I did something a few months back, because I had done it before. Paul Provenza produced it, and so I asked him to work on this one. And it was a show called The Set List, where they just give you like 2-3 words, and you have to change it into a bit immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I liked that, because I felt like it woke me up.
Right. It's that new. And Paul Provenza, if anyone doesn't know, he was one of the directors with Penn Jillette on The Aristocrats.
Yes.
A movie that, again, would not get made today.
No.
And you were involved in that in a very consequential way. Boy, I'll tell you, there's so much I want to talk to you about that's unrelated to all of the upsetting things. I'd rather hear about your straw-sized penis and your sunflower seed balls. I think your mail is turned on. Is that possible?
My what?
Mail, M-A-I-L, not your
M-A-L-E. Mail. You know mail. Your email. Your email is turned on because I keep hearing dings.
Oh, geez.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I have to get my wife because I don't know.
No, I think you've had enough of her.
Yes.
How long have you guys been married?
Oh, God, a while. Jeez.
Did she marry you for the Sharknado money?
Yes.
Gilbert, I got married 3 years ago, and I have a wonderful wife. Your wife's an angel. How did you propose to her, or did she propose to you? How did it happen?
Yeah, I don't remember any proposal actually taking place.
But you got married.
Yeah.
You had a wedding.
Yeah.
Where was the wedding?
The wedding was in New York. And luckily, she had some like aunt or something who had some mail order, religious thing that she could perform weddings.
Right.
So we didn't have to pay for it. And we just had mostly immediate family.
The ones that show up fast?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You just add water and they show up.
They're an instant family.
I remember my father used to have a hardware store, and I found something there, these little packets, and the packet said on them, instant pussy. And, you know, I, of course, as I would do today, immediately found some water to put it in. And then, of course, it unfolds and it's a piece of felt in the shape of a cat.
Oh, that's a good one. So it starts filthy and turns into just a silly little pun.
Yes.
That's puns are, people make fun of dad jokes and then they make fun of dick jokes. And I always go, well, you're not trying to think of one, you know?
Yeah.
But those are the jokes that you and I kind of were raised on. I was raised on those jokes.
Yes. Yeah. I always, I'll put up, one thing I do on my Twitter is I'll put up like a really bad pun. And like, what war was fought with juice cans? Vietnam. And
did you make that up?
I made that one up. I'm very proud of that one.
I think it's very good because it's an ad for V8, and it brings you back to another war that is incredibly painful.
Yes. But I always, after each joke, I'll say, like, you know, whatever the subject was, I'll go, I really apologize to any juice cans who I've offended.
Right, right. We are in a time right now where, are you kind of out of that realm where you don't feel like you're offending anyone right now? Are you getting any of the herd coming after you for anything? Or are you kind of clean of that right now?
Well, it's funny. I've always said about the internet that the internet makes me feel sentimental about old time lynch mobs. Because at least with, the old time lynch mobs, you had to put your shoes on, go out, get your hands dirty and deal with other people. And now lynch mobs are, you know, sitting in your underwear on the couch or waiting for your coffee at Starbucks. And you go, oh, let's form a lynch mob. So I said that on some show and they quoted it on the internet. And I got like a bunch all at once of, oh, that's so viciously racist what he said. And
I didn't think of it as racist. I think of the Frankenstein monster and everybody's with torches to kill him.
Yeah.
That's where my mind goes.
Yeah. And it's like what was funny about it when they started getting angry, It lasted like about 2 days. And what I find is it's kind of like how they'll say in advertising, they would have those things like, let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes it, or throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. And in show business, they would say, see if it has legs.
Right.
And I saw with that one, it lasted 2-3 days and then didn't go on. And it was almost like that. It was like, not really catching any heat with this one. We better get something else to get offended about.
Right, right. Yeah, people, it's really weird. I'm very sensitive, so I get hurt. And I know you are too, in the past with tweets. And I've gotten in trouble a few times. And I'm always feeling bad that I upset people or I was taken in a way that they don't realize I was kind of making fun of people that actually think that way. But that doesn't transfer. It's really, you got to be educated and smart about it. And that's why I look at certain people like Steve Martin and just people that I adore and love and look up to and how he tweets. It's just, you don't ruffle feathers purposely, but sometimes we do that sometimes. So Gilbert, you, have you been scared of the COVID? What have you done? What have you gone through?
Yeah, well, it's beyond me, these people who don't want to get vaccinated. I remember when they were first talking that they were working on a vaccine, I kept thinking, when are they going to finally get it? I mean, hurry up. I mean, I was really like that. And there were some people who said to me that when the vaccine does come out, they're going to wait to see if it's safe. And I thought, I don't want to wait. If it's totally unproven, I want the vaccine. So I got the two. And then I even just recently got a booster.
To sit on, to make you higher at the table?
Yes.
Well, at Denny's? Sit on. How was the booster shot? Did you feel sick after that?
I was amazed, and I feel really lucky that none of the shots I had any reaction to.
That's really, really great. I got sick after the second shot, but I expected it, so I didn't mind it. I mean, it's a new thing that's, as you would know, entering your body. Who's the person that you've met that you've been most excited? Because you've met a lot of people. People don't realize that you have been around and you've been in a bunch of different projects, movies and roasts and stand up, and you've met everybody. You've met a lot of people in comedy, especially. Is there anyone that was like extremely exciting for you?
Well, I remember I met Jerry Lewis a couple of times.
Right.
And that was one of those, because I figured, you know, when I was a kid, there was nothing I liked more than a Jerry Lewis movie coming on.
Right.
And there's been a few. I one time did Politically Incorrect. And I was there. I did the show with Anthony Quinn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Was he friendly?
Very friendly. Yeah. He even hugged me.
I was on that show. Bill Maher really knew what he wanted to do with his career. And really, that show, Politically Incorrect, was really strong. I used to enjoy being on it, and we were there to be the comedy fodder. Do with that whatever you want. And then, what do you do with the news, Gilbert? Do you watch it? Do you and Dara watch it?
The funny thing, just getting back to the vaccine, is that when I got the vaccine, I remember there was like, I don't know, a 2-3 week period where I said, I had a sigh of relief thinking, oh God, well, that's all over with. That you know, the pandemic and everything. Mm-hmm. Now everything will go back to normal. And now they've got like a new strain of COVID.
And so you know, it's not good to strain because you'll get a hemorrhoid. No, it's going to keep wanting to live this stupid ass thing and keep morphing. And that's, but everybody gets different facts and makes up what facts are convenient for them. And that's what's so disturbing. It's like, what's your source? And then I'll hear what the source is and I'll go, well, that's just some really weird small source. I looked at the source. And then you look at the big source on the big network and you go, well, they don't know what they're talking about. What's their source? And they just heard from somebody. I mean, the stuff that the horribleness, the sadness that's going on in Afghanistan, I listened to reporters. I didn't see the report, but I had CNN on their car radio, and I couldn't hear the person talking because the wind was blowing so heavily. And I was like, well, someone should tell her that they can't hear her or cup her hand over the mic. There's things you can do, but it's like, it's almost like you're scared for their lives that they're over there. But then you're also wondering, it doesn't sound like the news used to sound. It doesn't sound like someone's over there often that is, they're putting their life in danger. That's one thing. But the other thing, it just sounds like you're talking to a friend from high school. It doesn't sound as official as it used to sound.
Well, that's something I always think of also with the internet. It's like, growing up, there were commentators and newscasters and writers and columnists that you knew. You listen to that guy and he knows. And now everybody has got a platform. Yeah. Everybody, you know, becomes the expert on everything.
Yeah. And then it's angry people. And when I'm faced by the angry mob, once I get over being hurt, if it was directed at me, then I start to do what you do, which is disconnect and just go to Sillyville. Think of the silliest thing. Is that what you do with your kids to cope?
Yeah. I do silly stuff with them, and then they get annoyed.
They love you, Gilbert, and I've seen that, which is really sweet. It just makes me feel good. Yeah, you can't do jokes about it. It's just actually a nice moment. It's a nice moment. It's a nice thing.
Every now and then someone says something sincere and I go, oh, shit. How do I handle this?
And the answer is, how old are you now?
Oh, God, I'm old.
How old? I'm 65.
Oh, I got 1 year up on you.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're always going to go up on me because you're smaller. But well, at 66, you grow up. You know, even you do, especially with kids.
Yeah. It's like I go up on you. And that's why whenever I stop by your house, I bring a booster seat.
Right.
And you dress up as a 1930s doctor.
Can I tell you, since you did that, I have 14 of those outfits. Because I go up and down in weight, and I just don't. Even my head changes size, so I want to have the right hat, you know? And what's always good is I want the back of the hat to look good, because that's what you're going to see. So this is how people like us, I'm more serious than I used to be, and I'm more sensitive than I used to be, and yet I'm also kind of stronger in that if people are making up shit and lying, I'm just not going to hear it. They need some good parenting to tell them not to believe a bunch of garbage, whether it be the news or whether it be personal attacks or whether it be just dangerous for other people. That's, you know, I
was watching something today because on my podcast, I'm going to have the guy who wrote the book, Five Came Back. It was about when they sent these top movie directors like Frank Capra and John Huston and William Wyler to document World War II. And then they had another thing with it. Fife came back, the references, and it was a whole thing, all the film clips of the Holocaust. And it's like you go, whoa, just when you thought, it couldn't get worse, it just gets worse. Yeah.
And people thought after that, you know, we would never see anything that horrible again. And the people don't realize that wasn't long ago, the Holocaust.
Yes.
And all of the things that have happened in the past 2 years that people have brought to our attention, of all of the malicious things that have been done to different religions and cultures, it's all tragic. And it's all very hard to turn the needle and make it 180 degrees different, because people are not liking each other. People are not looking for peace between people.
No.
And hatred is enjoying itself. And so the answer is, you know, I keep saying that comedians are fourth responders, you know, that we have a job to make people laugh. And what you do with train conductors, I think... Let me ask you again, Anthony Quinn, was there another star that comes to mind that you met, or writer, political?
I met Rod Steiger.
My God.
And
what was he like? He didn't seem to be like a very overt, friendly person.
No, I didn't spend that much time with him, just like a short. He was backstage at
Politically Incorrect?
Politically, yeah, but he wasn't on the same episode I was on, and I met him backstage, so we spoke very briefly. But he's one of those, a lot of people who I spoke to didn't like.
That's nice to hear about that.
Yeah.
who's comedically, who's the person besides Jerry Lewis that you've spent time with that you liked the most?
Oh, God. Let's see.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were both friends with Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I once did, well, you worked with him too. And that was, I had a part in a movie that was Richard Pryor. And when I got on the set, he acted like he was a starstruck kid, meaning like the biggest star he ever met. And he knew everything. He knew more about my career than I do.
Doesn't that make, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Because he was, you had more of a career than when I worked with him, because I was 26, but he made me cry because he was so open. And had such a wondrous, he had both the childlike quality and the badass quality that you don't fuck with him, you know?
Yeah.
What movie was it?
Oh, I didn't make it to the final cut. And it was the last of the Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor comedies. And it was called Another You. And it was originally being directed by Peter Bogdanovich. And the studio fired him, got a new director. And then next thing I know, they fired a bunch of people. And I was one of them. And they scraped all previously shot footage. And then they released it. And the movie was god awful.
Wow, I don't even remember that one.
No one remembers that one. Jeez.
I'm sorry you were cut from it, because it was probably a little better than Sharknado.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Well, if it's Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, even at its worst, it's better than a lot of what we've seen over the years. I mean, they were magic together.
The last time I did this podcast, I was talking about birds.
Yep.
Flying in my window and pecking on my balls.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Now, Gilbert, do you think this kind of comedy would distance people or make them go, you know, okay, that was enough of that. Now for the future, we need a different kind of comedy. You know, they don't want literate comedy because they're mostly illiterate. But they don't want filth for the sake of it, I don't think. Although the people 30 years younger than you and everyone that's, you know, older than you, which is, you know, then there's death. But that older audience and our people 30 years younger than you and me, they like, some people like this kind of stuff. That's just dumbass adolescent, no different than when we were in eighth grade talking a bunch of dumb shit.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, though, when we were in school or when people would be at work or comics at a club and you could do stuff like this. And it would be like, OK, you know, nobody was offended by it. Nobody was outraged. And it was, it's like now everything is heard by everybody and everybody's got an opinion.
When do you perform again? Where can people see you next?
Because I know I have jobs coming up, so they'd have to go to GilbertGottfried.com.
Right.
Gilbert
Gottfried. Gottfried is GOTTFRIED.
Very good. Yes.
And Gilbert is FUCK. But they can go to GilbertGottfried.com and they can see where they can see you.
Yes. I do cameos. So you go to cameo.com/GilbertGottfried.
And there you will do things for people to make them feel good. You'll tell them stories.
Especially if they're train conductors.
Is there a discounted rate for train conductors? And in the cameo, do you tell them what you'd like to do with them if they're consensual? Tell them that you just want to hear them go, woo, woo.
Yes. Yeah. cameo.com/GilbertGottfried and my podcast.
That's what I want to talk about. Is that going all the time?
And it, you know, it gets more and more tricky to do it. Sometimes it's in people's houses. They're doing it from their house. And
right.
And I mean, I don't know how to do it. You know, my wife figures out most of it. I don't know a thing about how to do it, how to set up the mics or what this thing's on, that thing's off. Yeah.
Have you ever been good at that kind of stuff or not really?
No, never good at that. Never good at anything that I could use in life.
Well, stand up you can use in life. It's a career.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you used to bring an actual cassette recorder with you up on stage, like the big ones?
Do you know, I tried that a handful of times because I heard other comics did it.
Right.
And I don't know, I discontinued it. I did it like maybe five times, if that many.
I did it recently. I performed and I recorded, like, I was doing four shows in a weekend. Last Friday, I recorded the first show and I found it. Those first shows back, you kind of say everything you've been wanting to say. And then my other shows, I kind of figure out, because I'm really working on a new, whatever length of time it is. And I will listen to it. I don't like hearing my voice. I would like, if I play it back, I hear your voice.
Yeah.
So where do they find, tell me the full name. It's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Yes.
And they would just go to everywhere. It's everywhere. It's Apple.
I think so. God. God, I should know this shit.
No, it's wherever podcasts are available. They go in there and find it.
I guess so.
And who do you have coming up that we can listen to?
Oh,
you just told me you have someone. Yeah. Right. Very.
But, you know, it's funny. Previously on the show, some months back, over a year, we had Carl Reiner on. So that was one of those. Yeah.
Was he in New York or was it a Zoom?
It was a Zoom. Yeah.
What a gift that you got to have him.
Yeah. Him, Dick Van Dyke. Neil Sedaka.
Wow.
I was in a room with him. And we had a keyboard, and he sang my Yiddish Mama in Yiddish.
Oh, that's, you must love that.
Absolutely. I was frozen sitting there.
Wow. Are you Jewish?
Oh, ow. We once had Bruce Stern.
Ooh.
He was great.
What did he talk about? Did you go through the whole thing with him?
I mean, he worked on Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte. So he was working with Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
The original was Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Then they did... Not really a sequel, but just brought those two back. They were
Them died in Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah, well, yes, but they didn't bring back those characters. They just brought back Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. And then I guess Bette Davis was part producer and she fired Joan Crawford. And then they got Olivia de Havilland.
Wow. That's crazy. But he was also in, he was in Coming Home. He was in such important movies. I remember Silent Running. I mean, Bruce Dern is a piece of American movie making.
Yeah.
Who would you, if you weren't with Dara, who would be the most, who would you want the most to be your life partner?
You would have to work for Amtrak.
Right. Is that what you're gonna dream of tonight?
Yes, chubby, bordering on obese, and rosy red cheeks, and like a likable
Santa Claus? You like a Santa Claus?
Yes. If Santa Claus would dress up as a train conductor.
Well, that's what Polar Express was, that wonderful Tom Hanks CGI movie.
Oh, that's right.
But don't make it that guy. Make it you have your own guy. Yeah, I shouldn't have mentioned that.
Hey, have you ever had this? Okay. Two incidents. Well, two situations. Like, I've gotten over the years a couple of like major celebrities' phone numbers where I never called them because I was scared that it's kind of like, you know, how you'd get a girl's phone number and she'd go, oh, here's my phone number and here's my answering machine. Call me. Don't lose it. Call me. And then you call them and it's like, yeah, what do you want?
Right.
And
well,
I
if she
always,
has an answering machine, you're in 1982.
Yes. But the three people I never called that I remember them offering me their number. And one was Norman Fell.
Yeah.
And the other, Jonathan Winters.
Oh, my.
And George Carlin. Oh. And it's like, I would have liked to have spoken to them, but I was always scared. I'm going to call them and go, and they'd go, yeah, what do you want? What are you calling about?
Yeah. I was supposed to go to lunch with George Carlin, and he passed away 2 weeks prior. So it was really quite... In my book, I said that's why he passed on, so he could avoid lunch with
George. Yeah. He... one of my favorite lines of his, getting back to the subject of comics, he said, it's the duty of a comedian to find out where the line is drawn and deliberately cross over it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's your anthem.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant all of the stuff that you say, though. But he was, damn, he was a prophet. He said stuff that is so relevant right this minute.
Yes.
So brilliant. So brilliant. So spot on. And, you know, now it's not even looked at as lefty left. It's just stuff he said.
Yeah.
And Judd Apatow is making a documentary about him, which I can't wait. It's going to be a work of art, I believe, because George was a work of art.
Yeah.
But you've made me really happy. I needed a laugh today. And honestly, I will, when my wife says, what did you and Gilbert talk about? And when your wife, Dara, says, what did you and Gilbert talk? What did you and Bob? She calls you Gilbert. She talks in third person. She thinks you're Bob. When she asks what we talked about, what are you going to say?
First, I'll open with the booster seat.
Oh, that's cool. Then, that's out of order, but you think it's a stronger opening because it sounds relevant to the vaccine. Yeah. So you're kind of opening with the news. Well, Gilbert, I love you very much. You don't have to tell me back. I know you.
Oh, thank you for not saying.
Don't have to say it back. Yeah. It's I had Ed Asner on the podcast a couple weeks back, and he said, I just want to tell you, Bob, I like you. I like you very much. And I said, Ed, I would tell you that I love you, but, and he went, no, you're not going to do that. I don't know verbatim how it went, but it was definitely not someone that wanted to be able to say it.
He was on my podcast. He was a lot of fun.
He was, how long ago did you have him?
Oh, it was a while back.
Right. He's still out there, man. He's still punching away for his causes that he believes in.
Yeah, autism is one of them.
Yeah, because of his kid. We all get through life, you know, and people don't know what other people go through. Do you have a psychiatrist?
No, I should. You must have one.
I do, but he's scared to talk to me right now. No, I do have one. It's very interesting. He's, I think people, if they can do it, and we also have sponsors that are pretty great on, you probably have the same one on your podcast.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. And it's a good one. I'll say the name. I'm not scared. It's BetterHelp. And they actually, you can call and people can get help because I think a lot of people need help right now.
Oh, yeah.
More than ever. You don't. Because you're doing great. You're in a room with a bed and exercise equipment from your in-laws. Do you get along good with your in-laws?
I know. I guess so.
That's a good answer. That's an honest answer. Well, I'm going to let you go to bed because it's 3 hours later there. What time do you get tucked into your in-laws' bed?
Oh, geez. What? I'm scared. What time is it?
It's very, very late. It's 3 a.m.
Yes. That's what it feels like.
No, it's time for you to go hug your wife and kids and enjoy your night.
That sounds good.
Have a good night's sleep tonight. Maybe are your in-laws there in the place with you?
Oh, not right now.
No, because I was going to suggest surprise them this evening. And give my love to Dara, and everybody needs to listen to your amazing, huge, colossal podcast.
Yes, and
GilbertGottfried.com, and go to cameo.com/GilbertGottfried, and he'll do cameos for you and tell you about the train. And there's a discount for conductors. If you've got white hair and you're kind of jolly, that's his type. So
yeah, if he was like that, who was that actor who played Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street?
It's Edmund Gwenn.
Edmund, yes, yes. See, he would have been good in the movie version.
So let me ask you, honestly, because you mentioned Edmund Gwenn, does this do anything for you?
Well, I know what I'll be jerking off to tonight.
Maybe he was more like this. When he was thinking it over, you know, should I let him conduct my train? Oh, wait, he doesn't have a conductor's hat, but.
Oh, that's even better.
It's a bowler.
Yeah, because now he looks like a rich man.
Let me show you what he looked like young. Oh, there aren't any pictures. Oh, my God. Gilbert, have a good night.
Oh, you too.
Lots of love, and give your wife a hug for me. She'll know what I mean. Well, there you go. Gilbert Gottfried, more about a train conductor than any of us wanted to hear. And of course, you understand that. You must understand, please understand, he only laughs and brings up tragedy because it's that horrible. But maybe that is a thing about, I don't know, wryness or satire or irreverence that will be lost now since the world has changed and so many people are hurt and hurting and losing their lives. But this is how he deals with it and sometimes how I deal with it, but not always. But Gilbert brings me back to that time where you would do those kind of jokes at a roast. And I think those kind of jokes will continue to happen at roasts. But I don't know. Are they going to cancel roasts? I don't know. I think sometimes they're wonderful. And we are in a different world. And I am listening. And I am responsive. And I am not intending to do anything as I move forward with my comedy that hurts people. But I'm sure everybody has already been hurt or will be hurt by things that different comedians do. But I'm never going to go there and do things that hurt anybody. And, you know, I've always copped and owned my stuff. And Gilbert's been through his stuff. A lot of comedians have been through stuff and will continue to be. But I will continue to do comedy. And I'm out on tour. So I hope you check me out. I'm coming to your town, and I'm working on a brand new hour and a half that's really special to me. Much more thoughtful, I think. I don't know. People that know me say that I'm much more mature, and yet I am not. I still do my share of wiener jokes, but it's just to make things a little light and silly. But I'm not as graphic as what you just listened to. So you can check Gilbert out at gilbertgottfried.com. You can check me out at bobsaget.com. I'm on tour, and I am sending all you guys a lot of love. I truly am. And goodness and truth, for God's sakes. If you're not facing the truth, please do, and help us out in life. You know what to do. You rate, review, subscribe. You can do that, and or follow to listen, or you can go to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/bobsaget. And catch up on these episodes if you like a good two-shot that's in Zoom. Sending you my best, everybody. Stay well. Take care of yourselves. And I'm sending you nothing but positive stuff and a lot of love. All right. Be well.